Congratulations again to the birthdays. That's really neat. And tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I don't know about you, but I think everybody in this room should be very grateful tomorrow for being alive and for what God has done for all of us. And tonight, we're reading page 25, where there is a solution. We're going to read There Is a Solution. And we're going to read this page, and then we're going to read the appendix that Jan talked about last week on spiritual experience. It's not that much, and I hope to leave some time for people to comment. We're hopeful. John's the new timekeeper. I thought Ed was going to have a seizure that day. He kept pointing up, and I said, Ed's seizing on us. I think I'm funny, but listen, I'm doing pretty well. The Dukies really played like crap tonight, and you know, I call Go for some consolation, and he's giving me shit. And then the Chiefs, my God, oh my God. Those listening to the podcast, these are the spiritual stresses that we have in recovery. But tonight we're going to read There Is a Solution on page 25. Now notice it's in italics, and then I don't know if they did this on purpose, but page 24 in italics, right across from it, says, I'm without defense against the first drink. Anybody believe that?
Yep. Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean I'll know when I'm without defense, or I can plan it, or there's a time that I'm not going to be able to not drink. Now, is anybody who doesn't think that's true for themselves? And then right across from it is their solution. Now we're not drinking today, so there must be a defense against the first drink. And we're going to read about where it comes from tonight. And so when this was written in 1939, this was the first time that they told the alcoholic who was suffering a hopeless condition of mind and body. Anybody remember that? And of course, I still have it today. The only difference is today, I choose to seek the power that gives me choice. That's the only choice I make. Am I going to seek God today in my life, and God gives me the power or not? And that's what these steps are all about. It says there is a solution. Now, it doesn't say this is a possible solution or one of many solutions. It says this, there is a solution that they had found. This is their experience, what they wrote. And it says, almost none of us, I like that, almost none of us liked. Notice the word, liked. And I wrote, it's not what we like, it's what we need. We don't care if you like this. In fact, they don't even care if you do it. They're just saying, if you want to have what they had and do the solution, this is what they did. So AA doesn't tell anybody really what they should do or shouldn't do. They're just giving you information that if you have this hopeless condition of mind and body, if you do what they did, you will be recovered. It says, none of us liked the self-searching. We're going to search myself, my personality, my mind, and see the truth about the leveling of our pride. Stu, will you look up pride in your little thing? Because pride is the killer for us, right? And we want to level it. And the confession of shortcomings is what we're short of. We're short of all of the things that are God. We're short of honesty, courage, consideration, humility, giving and sharing, doing for others, and we're full of selfish, dishonest, frightening, considerate, prideful, greedy, lustful, angry, envy, sloth, gluttony, impatient. That's what we have. We're short of this. And so the shortcomings are we're short of this, and that's our character defects. It's another way of saying it, which the process requires. So it's a process. It's not like a study. It's not taking a course. Requires for its successful consummation. So if you want to consummate your recovery, you need to do this. There's no other, they don't mince words here. And they tell you you're not going to like it. But they didn't like it, but they saw that it really worked in others. So what does pride say?
Excessively high.
Opinion of oneself. Arrogance, sense of one's own proper dignity of value. It means that we value ourselves so highly that we're threatened all the time. And so that produces resentment, remember? Pride. But we saw it really worked in others. You can see that tonight, right? That's why we celebrate birthdays. That's why we share. And it says, if you have come to believe in the hopeless and futility of your life. Now, does anybody remember the moment when you realized your life was hopeless and futile?
Yes.
It's something you don't want to ever forget, do you?
No.
And if you come to believe as you've been living it. So the way you've been living your life is hopeless and futile. They're not talking about drinking, they're talking about the way you were living it. Self-centered, separated from God, it's hopeless and futile. And so what they're really telling you is we need to find a new way to live, right? So when, therefore, if you've come to believe in the hopeless and futility of your life, you see it works in others, well, therefore, if I'm approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, then there's really nothing left but to pick up the kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet.
What kit?
Simple kit.
Simple kit.
These few sentences are really powerful. It tells you what you need to do to successfully consummate your recovery. You see it works in others. You have to believe in the hopelessness of your... And I think that's why some people don't make it. They know their life is bad, but they still have a plan. They don't believe that it's completely hopeless and futile because they haven't given up. They still think there's hope and it's not futile because they have a way out. Well, they don't. And then... If you're given this book, then really all you have to do is pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. So why don't people pick it up? Why don't people do it? They can't see the hopelessness and futility of their lives. They're not completely defeated. Now, how do you make somebody completely defeated? You tell them to keep drinking. I mean, there's no way I can make somebody completely defeated. But if they are, we want to be there to help, right?
Yes.
So we never stop trying to help people because if we leave the door always open because we don't know when they're going to be completely defeated. And it's a simple kit of spiritual tools. So we're going to get a toolkit. That's what you get in AA. This book is a toolkit. You open it up, it has power tools on how to live. Now, here's the problem. They have to be plugged into the right socket. There are two sockets. One is the Michael socket, and one is the God socket. Now, I can plug those spiritual tools into the Michael socket all day, and my life is still shit because I'm running it. They only work if they're plugged into the God socket. And what they're telling you is that you're putting a mailbox up because you want to receive the mail from God. And God comes by, but if you don't have your mailbox up, you're not getting the mail. And so that's what they're telling you here. And it says, if you do that, here's a great promise. We have found much of heaven and been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence. Now, people have argued and written books on what the fourth dimension of existence is, of which we not even dream. For me, the fourth dimension of existence is the world of the spirit.
Yes.
The world of with God. With God at the center of my world, directing me, trying to obey him. So, good paragraph, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's some promises. The great fact is just this and nothing less. So this is the great fact, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences. And we're going to read what they talk about, how they describe that. The spiritual experience has revolutionized, that means it's completely changed my whole attitude towards life. Well, it has. My attitude towards life now is how I can be helpful and serve God and stay connected to him versus how I can manage the world to get what I think I need. Toward our fellows, we're supposed to love our fellows, right? And practice love, patience, kindness, tolerance, consideration, compassion, and towards the whole universe. So that's what has happened. Toward our fellows. Now, if that's happened, you've changed a lot, haven't you? It's a great change. Then here's the central fact, and I think this is what I'm really grateful for. The central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my Creator God has entered into my heart, not my mind, and my life in a way which is indeed miraculous. I believe that. I know it's true. He has commenced to accomplish those things. Notice commenced, but we want to continue it, right? And the rest of the book up to page 102 is how we continue to have God doing these things for us, which we could never do for ourselves. And that's at the end of Nine Step Promises. Suddenly we realize that God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. But I heard something in my, I've been studying the scriptures and studying Genesis, and the guy who's teaching it, teaching me, said that we have come to believe that God can do better for me than I can do for myself. I said, wow, that's AA, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. God can do better for me than I can do for myself. And isn't that what we really believe? Because we're going to turn our life and will over the care and direction of God. And it says, so anybody like the great fact and the central fact? And we'll have some time and people can talk about the central fact of their lives today. I go to this Bible study at 6:30 in the morning, and they went around, everybody was saying what they were thankful for. And I just said, I'm so thankful that I have a relationship with God, that I can trust and depend on Him, and He's changed my life, and He's there for me, and all I have to do is seek Him and follow a few simple tools. And they stared at me. But it's true, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Stop it. Well, you know, they did stare at me, but they didn't make me leave. No, I'm just teasing, but you know, we have this really good Bible study, but I could see people who've never worked the steps, and they see things differently than we do. Yes. We're very lucky. We see things differently. We've had some spiritual insight. It says, if you are seriously alcoholic as we were, they aren't anymore. We believe there's no middle of the road solution. So, what does that mean? Well, people are always looking for the middle of the road, right? Half measures will avail us nothing. So you can go down that road all you want, but you're not going to get anything. Because it says, if you're in a position where life has become impossible, that's a bad thing, isn't it? And I remember when life was impossible. I mean, really impossible. And if you have passed into the region, so you're in an impossible life and you're in a region, you're in an area in your mind where there's no return through human aid. So you need to have a different type of aid other than human, right? Meetings, fellowship, human aid. You need God's aid. You have but two alternatives. There's only two doors. One was to go on to the bitter end. And when you do that, you're blotting out the consciousness of your intolerable situation as best you could. And I think that's why people die. They blot out the awareness of how intolerable their situation is. And that's what they mean by constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And there are people who cannot come to believe in the hopeless and futility of life as they're living it. And I think that's what they mean. There's people who can or will not do this program because they're constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They can't see the truth about their situation. And I do believe that to see the truth is a gift from God, that moment of awareness, that moment of humility when you can see the truth. And it says to accept spiritual help. And then it says, this we did because we honestly wanted to and we were willing to make the effort. So you have to make an effort and you have to honestly want to. So those three paragraphs I think are really powerful. And if you're new, you study them and you read them with somebody and they explain it to you, it tells you why you want to do the rest of the book, right? Now we're going to turn to the spiritual experience and then we'll open it up. Now this is page 567. By the way, Chantel, do you have one of our cards?
Yeah.
All right, anybody wants some cards? I got extras here. So they put this in 1955 when they wrote the second edition. They put this appendix in because Bill W. describes his sudden conversion, and there's some suggestion that some people thought, well, they have to have that as their spiritual experience. But they put this in here, this chapter, and Jan mentioned it last week, to explain it. And it really says to experience the spirit, right? And what they're telling.
567?
Yeah. And they're telling us in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs that what you need to do is change. Dino, you got the page?
I'm trying.
Oh, my God.
He's got a third edition.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Oh.
Oh, there it is.
All right, good. For those listening, this is, we're all on the same page now. 567. So the term spiritual experience really means change. And if you listen to Joe and Charlie, they read this, and the one guy reads the line, the other guy goes, change. They read the line, change. So it says the term spiritual experience is spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, then Joe and Charlie also say alcoholics never read carefully, but upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Now, what they're saying is, to recover from alcoholism, you have to have a personality change, and it has to be sufficient change. So we don't want to live the way we lived on the left-hand side anymore, right? If we don't change our personality, the way we think and the way we see things, nothing's going to happen. And how do I change the way I see things? With God. Because I always see him through my self-centered glasses. Now I got these new trifocals on, and God's help adjusting them for me. But I'll see the world with Michael's glasses, and I won't like it. And I have to take them off and put on God's glasses and see it differently. That's all recovery is, seeing things through God's eyes. And I said today, they were talking about good and bad things. I said, there's no good or bad, there just is. And God helps me react to it. And so I have to remember that. I can't put labels on things. So I want to change my personality, which is the way I think and the way I be. And if I be differently, then I'll do differently. And then that's the St. Francis prayer. What do I want to be? What do I want to bring? I want to be a channel of God's peace. That's why the St. Francis prayer is so powerful for me in my alcoholism. It says, yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. I think I have personality changes all the time. I'm still having them. I still see things differently. I stop and say, gee, wrong again, Michael. Saw that wrong. It says in the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. And so they're saying that the spiritual experience can be gradual or it can take time, but I think at some point, it's always suddenly you realize you're seeing things differently. And it can be a series of sudden realizations that I'm seeing things differently. When you hear people 30, 60, 90 days, you hear that. You hear that they're starting to see things differently than the way they've always seen and reacted to things. It says, among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. I've heard Chuck Chamberlain in his new pair of glasses says he has a spiritual experience every time he sees something that he's wrong about. Every time you change your mind and you see, and Lenny's shaking it because he knows what I'm talking about, I'll say, gee, wrong again, Michael. Wow. And it happens all the time. And it's exciting. And to be open to see things differently. It says, most of our experiences with the psychologist William James cause the educational variety because they develop suddenly over a period of time. Now, we say suddenly we realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Sandy Beach says that all of our spiritual experiences always occur suddenly, because suddenly we'll realize something, and they continue. It's not a one-time thing. And it says these things will happen gradually or slowly, right at the end of the promises. Well, to me, the only thing that tells you whether it's gradual or slow is how fast you're working the steps. You see? Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if you work for it. They will always appear, materialize. You'll be aware of it. And so to go back to 567, often friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. A lot of times people will see that you're different, and they'll be happy for you. And they'll say, I see some change. If they don't say that, they say you're worse. You may need to work the steps more. And you have a profound alteration in your reaction to life. Now notice the word reaction. It's not discussed at discussion meetings, but one of the topics that should be people need to realize is everything we're talking about with the steps is how I react differently. And remember it says, we will suddenly recoil from alcohols from a hot flame, right? And we will see the truth about things. It says, this is how I will react if I'm in a fit spiritual condition. And if I'm in a fit spiritual condition, then I won't have the resentment or the fear. I'll stop when I start getting judgmental and I'll ask God to change it. When I have fear, I'll say, God, take the fear away. Do you see what I'm saying? We're going to react differently. We don't have to be bothered by everything. That such a change can hardly have been brought about by himself alone. I can't do it. I need God. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. Now, I love this. With few exceptions, and here's what we find, that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource. Now, where does it talk about an inner resource in the big book? It talks about the fundamental idea of God is deep down inside of all of us, but we obscure it by what? Calamity, pomp, worship of other things. And so what I found is that God was always here with me. And I wish I'd known this 30, 40 years ago. Wow, life would have been a lot different. Maybe 50 years ago, I'm getting old. And it's always been there, but I blocked him out by my mind telling me what I thought I needed to do or what I wanted and this and that. I blotted it out. And so all we do is we tap into this unsuspected inner resource. It's always there. And how do we do that? We do steps 4 through 9. Step 4 is where we're beginning to untap that inner resource. We're going to see the person God created, and I see the person I created. And they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. And then you know it's there, right? There are people in this room know that God's deep down inside of them. And if I'm in trouble, I just go to God for anything.
Yeah.
And in fact, it gives you a certain trust that you're not afraid all the time. I'm not afraid all the time. I was afraid all the time. Most of us, and I think new people, I have to remember how afraid people are when it's new. It's so scary. It's so scary. Most of us think this awareness, so we're aware of a power greater than ourselves, is the essence of the spiritual experience. So the spiritual experience is just that you're aware that you've got a go-to guy to go to all the time. All the time. And he's always there, and he'll never let you down. Never let you down. And it's the essence of, and they call it God consciousness. We're conscious of God, instead of being conscious to Michael. And it says on step 11, I want to improve my conscious contact with God. I want to stay in contact with God, not with me. And so all day long, I have to stop being running the world and get back to God. And how do I know when I'm playing God and myself? I have fear, anger, or judging. you know, and I don't feel good. And he made us to want to come back to him. Sandy Beach has this great talk, God's plan for our life. He says God's plan for every alcoholic's life is that when they separate from him, they turn around and run back to him. And he's like in the parable of the prodigal son, the father's running out to meet the son who's coming back, and he hugs us. He says that's what God, all he asks is for us to turn back to him all the time, and he's always there. Most emphatically, we wish to say that, one, any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience, two, can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. So I wrote, I have to let go of all my old ideas, and all the time. And then as you go through your spiritual journey, you're going to see more and more old ideas. And that's what Lenny was saying. Oh, when I see my old ideas, and they're wrong. And I say, wrong again. So we have to be open-minded to spiritual concepts. And here's what can defeat me. Attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. And you see that with new people. And you can't change that. Because an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial is the opposite of what they tell me is essential. Because they say in the next line, no one need have difficulty with the spirituality program. Really, it's not how bright you are, or if you study enough, it's are you willing enough? And here's what they say, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness is the complete opposite of an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. And you'll see it, people come here, they don't like the meeting, I talk about God too much. Yeah. They have a resentment towards me, blah, blah, blah. Well, how's that working for you? You know, and it's fine. I don't take it personally too much. If I do, I call Mark. He straightens me out. But it's just the way alcoholics are made, right? We want to, and you see it in a lot of meetings. You see this belligerent denial, this attitude of intolerance. I don't think there's any more judgment that could possibly go on in the world than goes on during an AA discussion meeting. Everybody's judging everybody else, and who said this, and what they do, and goes on and on. All right, I thought that was funny. Nobody laughed. All right, but it is. I think it's true. There you go. All right. It's a tough day. It's a tough day. We lost our first game. I'm doing pretty good. Willingness, honesty, and open mind, essentials of recovery, and it's indispensable. So, I said at one meeting, this is one of the reasons how I started this Sunday night meeting. I went to this meeting, and I said, "How is the spiritual experience? Honesty, open-minded, willingness." And I was told by the chief guru at that meeting that there's no how in AA. It's who. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Well, guess what? I went home and it says how it works.
That's who it works.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. Anyway, resentment's hard, all bad. So it's willingness to have an open-mindedness. And it says there's a principle which is a bar against all information. This is so true. Mm. Which is a proof against all arguments and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. And I think this is what kills alcoholics. The principle is contempt prior to investigation. I decide what I need or what I'm not going to do, contempt prior to investigation. It will kill us. It does kill us. So we have some time, and let's open it up, and we can discuss. I think these two pages really are the whole deal. And everybody have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow, and wake up and thank your higher power for everything they've done for us. Thank you.
He has this saying that occasionally happens to him a lot where he goes, wrong again, Michael. I got a text about 5:35 where he was admitting he was wrong again. But anyway, I've sidetracked already.
This is when they were getting killed.
No, I'm just joking.
He's getting me shit.
I know probably a lot of people's heard me tell him, but the principle of contempt prior to investigation